You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
To a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes, and I'm Wes. That's right, Steve is out this week. He's actually been kidnapped by a feral hillbilly family for a ransom of $15, and nobody wants to pay it. So we have 6 degrees of sexpiration filling in. That's right, that is Caitlin Robb and JJ Ranvier. They are going to help me count down our top five fan theories with one caveat, which you will find out right now, because I'm just going to tell you. The caveat is, we had to come up with our own fan theory that doesn't already exist. So let's get to it. So I found out that my name, Wesley Whitaker, is like the most milquetoast meaning of a name in the world.
It is.
Wesley means Westwood.
Oh, no.
And Whitaker means Wheatacre.
Do you want your dog, like, squeaking in the background?
Hey, the fans vibing out know that I have a dog and that he has plenty of toys because he's spoiled.
Okay.
So
oh, it's... He's just like, oh my God.
I thought it was actually the White Acre of the West.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right?
The White Acre. I thought it was, looking it up, it said Westwood Weed Acre, but it could be White Acre. I prefer it be Weed Acre just because, you know,
my
2017.
My first name just means successful director, so there.
Fantastic.
No, my legal first name actually means Flower of God, and I have always
Flower
been an atheist.
Flower of God.
Yeah.
Let's chew on that for a second, JJ.
And what does, so your stage name is JJ Ranvier, correct?
Yes, yes.
What does Ranvier mean to you?
Oh
think?
My God, cool. So I love this shit. It's a French scientist, and I specifically stole it because it's the part of it's a part of a brain cell.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you Google me, the exciting thing is you do get me, but like just a page later, you get stuff about the nodes of Ranvier.
Okay.
And so if you like look at, this is hard on a podcast to explain, but like if you look at like a brain cell, it kind of looks like a piece of broccoli, and there's like the stem of the broccoli. So the stem of the broccoli is the axon, and that's where the signals travel along.
Mm-hmm.
And they're myelinated, quote unquote, insulated. And there's spaces in between the insulation, and those are called the nodes of Ranvier.
I think Steve needs to go out of town more often, because I just learned way more in this episode already than in 160 episodes with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wes, I mean, this is why you hang out with me, right? Because I'm, like, a lot smarter than you.
Oh. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Hold on 1 second.
You only hangs out with me because I can cook.
That's pretty much it. So, Caitlin,
nothing to do with your banging tits.
Nothing
to do.
Nope. Or my gorgeous legs.
Oh, God, girl, your legs. I am so goddamn jealous.
So, Caitlin, what is your name? Your name mean? Your name main?
It's your name. Meme. It's your name. It's your name as a meme. So what's your name?
What's your meme name?
Your meme name.
Oh, God. I feel like I typed my name into like a comment thing
on
Facebook, and I got a GIF for it once.
Mm.
I don't really remember what it was though. But my name, if you look it up on anything, means pure. Or
wait, wait.
So I'm Flower of God. You're pure, and we're in a duo called 6 Degrees of Sexpiration.
In fact, we are.
Oh, dear. Okay.
This may be the irony of the century. JJ.
I'm very pleased with this.
Me too.
We're just also going to take over Wes's podcast. I'm very excited.
That's really why I wanted you two to come on, so I could just sit out for a podcast as well, just let you two go.
Wow, what a white all dude right. To make us do all the emotional labor.
That's me.
Burn.
So that brings me to my next question. What does 6 degrees of sexpiration mean?
Oh,
you know, we don't really address this.
No,
ever.
Do you want to keep it a mystery?
It's not much of a mystery. You talk to me for 5 minutes and I'll probably tell you, but like...
Especially if you're having wine.
Yeah.
I'm not as susceptible as Caitlin. Like, it's my first glass.
Well, I didn't eat much before this glass, so...
I did eat a whole piece of quiche, so... I have had a lot of...
A quiche piece.
Okay, but six degrees of sexpiration. Yeah, let, Let's just say it. Well,
say it together.
Okay.
We have slept with six of the same people.
And that, folks, was an improv game right there.
Yeah. Come see us live.
So what does your live shows entail, 6 degrees of sexpiration?
I mean, just usually endless mocking of our lovers.
Yeah. But they're always anonymous, kept only to nicknames, typically.
I think you guys talked over each other. You said that you guys talk about your lovers a lot, your past lovers?
Oh, yeah. Yep. One of our last shows, we both had a list of people we have slept with, but just their nicknames. Actually, not even people we slept, because mine was also people I'd been involved with, because I had Crazy Rachel Maddow on there.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just someone I went on a very weird date with. And that story is actually now on Twitter in a series of GIFs.
JJ's in charge of our Twitter, guys.
Yeah. That was on my personal Twitter. But we had the list and we said that people could pick off one and we would tell the story. And unfortunately, my roommate was in the audience at the time and they knew like all my stories. And so they picked the one they knew was the worst, which was strap-on guy.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Do you want to tell a quick, abbreviated version of the story right now?
A strap-on guy?
Again, I like how Steve leaves for a week, and immediately we're heading into sex land.
Oh, yeah. You invited us on. I'm sorry. This is Flower of God and Pure. We are just going to talk about our love for quinoa.
And don't forget Westwood Whiteacre over
there.
Oh
my God, yes!
You sound like the nerdy, like, middle school, like, newspaper reporter who, like, wandered into a commune.
Oh, thank you.
Which he is.
You were like, I'm just going to interview the hippies.
Oh, God,
I feel like my name might as well be Wet Sandwich Flat Soda.
See, whenever I describe Wes, I always say like a golden retriever that got turned into a human. And I feel it's pretty like even like your headshot is just you smiling like a big dog smiles. You know? Yeah,
that's what I
and
hear.
It's like the only picture you like of yourself. So
exactly. But we got off track. So you guys tell stories about your past lovers. Let's get off track again. How do you guys feel about the term lover? Because I hate it.
I hate it too. I'll let Caitlin say her feelings because I've talked a lot.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's better in polite company than sex partner.
That sounds like tennis.
Fuck buddy.
See, I love the term fuck buddy because like I was talking about this with my partner, which is my preferred term for people that I go outside with, instead of just staying in bed with them. But there's a distinction. Like, for instance, like fuck buddies, it's like when you're outside with each other, you're just friends. When you're in the bedroom, you're more than friends. And like partners, you go outside and you might hold hands and do like kissy face things at each other. And I don't know, I'm very bad at dating.
Ooh, gross things.
I know, it's disgusting.
Hold hands, kissy face.
Germs. So many germs.
So many germs.
You can't get any of those from the bedroom. Yeah, right? No kissing, just sex. I use the term lover ironically. I use it like for instance, I use it for a show
like
as
you
a joke.
Lover.
My lovers. But like really, like for instance, I have like a fuck buddy and I have a partner and I have a platonic partner. And like Caitlin's like, I always jokingly am like, oh, there's my partner and then there's like my life partner, Caitlin.
Yes.
Where like if we broke up, it'd be like a divorce. Whereas like.
It would. We would have to disentangle our lives. And like,
it'd be really bad.
Way. Yeah.
Like, you Google me and it's like all pictures of the two of us together.
Exactly. But then again, like Wes is my, little white bread sandwich flat soda.
That is her bedroom nickname for me.
Some people say babe, some people say flat soda. I call my partner LaCroix, however you pronounce it.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows, yeah. Because I'm Ron Vier and he's LaCroix. specifically, grapefruit.
Grapefruit LaCroix.
Yes.
And I know specifically who you're talking about, and it fits.
I feel it really fits. So, actually, really my nickname for him, like if I was going to put him on a list of lovers, would be Seymour.
Oh.
From Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
darling. I can see that.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, so now every time you use the term lover, one of us is going to grunt.
Oh, you should.
Or groan, yeah. not grunt.
I mean, Wait,
grunt, groan, or moan? Because I feel like those are all very distinct.
Yeah, I was going to say, moan is like.
Yeah,
oh, thank
yeah.
you.
Moan is like pleasurable.
That.
Groan is
when someone
exasperated,
makes a pun.
And
yeah.
grunt is like
effort. When yeah. you can't open a jar, you need to poop.
I meant to say groan, but I'm glad grunt has led us to this.
We're not allowed to do bits on this show. We are a
never.
Dignified podcast.
That's right. We're very distinguished.
With Wesley Whitaker of the White Bread.
The White Bread Wheataker Westwood. Oh, boy. Anyway, so we back to your show. So you talk
oh, yeah.
about your past sex partners. And you tell stories, and
yes.
you guys do improv.
Well, we have other people tell their stories.
Yeah, that was our last show, which hopefully we'll get to do again, Menage a Tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was really fun because we got, like, our friends to tell us what makes you unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some, like, real unusual shit. Like, that was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was one of your favorites?
Oh, no, that's, like, picking between my children, but I hate children. I actually like these people.
Ooh. I like children, so.
So what is the one that comes to mind first? Maybe not your favorite, just one that comes to mind.
I can't help think of the fact that we got...
A person who in post we decided should remain nameless.
To make the story about him having childhood cancer be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that, I was pretty proud of that one.
We have a friend, he told a story about... how his doctors treated his childhood sarcoma. And see, I'm even laughing at it now because
yeah, like I was pretty pleased with it. Oh, if we're plugging shit, can I just like blatantly scene change and talk about the podcast that also you all both have been on?
Guys, we're a professional podcast here. We're gonna save plugs for the very end, but just real
oh,
quick,
okay,
what is this podcast? Very briefly, because we got to get going.
It's called the After Disaster Broadcast.
And that's all we have time for.
Okay. We'll get to it at the end then. Okay.
No. Tell us quick. It's a quick premise of it.
It's a fictional podcast about the end of the world and a woman named Jo Prendergast trying to survive it. And it's all told in ham radio broadcasts. And Caitlin does the outros. And you were my emergency broadcast dude.
That's what I am. A Westwood emergency broadcaster.
Yep.
All right, ladies, since there's three of us, we have to move a little quicker this week. We're going to go into the email section of the show.
Woo.
Man, I really wish we had some kind of, like, stinger or something, like the Morning Zoo Radio Hour. Thank you. Thank
a
you,
bird
Jake.
Just flew through.
So the previous podcast, Top 5, was Top 5 back in my day. And we had a bunch of people write in, so I'm going to try to get through as many of them as I can. Timothy Adam Murphy writes in. His top five is VHS tapes.
Mm-hmm.
His number four is missing a new episode. Basically, if you missed an episode on TV, you cannot find it again. His number three is Pogs. Oh, my God. His number two is a Dewey Decimal System. His number one is holding a book.
Oh, come on. I have a book in my bag right now. It might be the player's manual for Dungeons and Dragons, but it's a book. It's a fucking book.
Yeah, and I don't own a Kindle. I mean...
I own one too, but actually I have not charged it in ages because I just keep buying like used books at bookstores.
Sure, but I mean, come on.
Because I am an intellectual.
I just like the smell.
That's what I do. I just go after work to the library and sniff shit.
Yeah. God. I don't read anything. I just carry books around to
smell.
I just
like to touch the books. Like, what is his name? Timothy?
Timothy, yeah.
Yeah, Timothy. But I think actually the one I didn't think of was missing an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were just boned.
Exactly, until it came back in rotation again.
In reruns after the entire series was over.
Yeah.
Because they started doing it before they got, like, you know, TiVo, like, showing the episode before the... But, like, if you miss, like, one or two, like, you were just fucked. But
also think about how TV was done before people
spoilers.
Really had the ability to, you know... I see things on demand, like pretty much any show, any episode was a standalone plot, and there wasn't this amazing through line like we have today. It
especially
wasn't...
with like Netflix shows. Like Netflix shows are like
long movies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's great. But yeah, for sure. Like if you missed an episode, you were fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But also VHSs. I also used to, like, before I had TiVo, would record episodes on VHS, too. Mm-hmm. Like, when, because, like, if I was, like, not going to be home. Mm-hmm. Like, so that, those two go together. Because, like, you're a little bit older than me, but I remember a lot of the stuff from, like, your top five. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Like, the wood chips on the playground? Ugh. That was your one. But, like, yeah, the VH one is definitely the one that I was like, yep. I remember the move from VHS to DVD.
So, were you young enough, or old enough, I should say, to remember Pogs?
Is that, like, what the toy that you, those? Like...
Wait, you don't remember Pogs?
Wait, can you describe them to me?
Yeah, I think it's a toy, right?
They're like little flat cardboard discs, and you'd stack them up, and you'd have like a slammer, which is a heavier disc, and you would throw the slammer at the pile of Pogs, and I never knew the exact rules of the game. You tried to flip over as many as you could.
What?
It's the dumbest thing. We were dumb 90s children with asbestos in the walls and lead in the water.
Yeah, true. Oh, I thought it was like...
What? I thought you were talking about Tinker Toys.
I thought you were talking about Tinker Toys, yeah. Too. Like, that sounds like what that toy would be. Pogs just, that just sounds like, oh, I don't have enough quarters to throw at the wall, so I use cardboard discs. Like, the fuck?
You know you use quarters as currency, right? Not as throwing stars?
No way!
You only had dollar bills, JJ.
Oh, I only have my... I only had daddy's credit card. Excuse you.
Oh, God. Your Lamborghini's double parked outside, JJ.
Yep, my Lamborghini, my orange bicycle. I call her Lamborghini.
Yeah. She's a classy lady.
She Lamborghini. Is.
Our next email comes from Mr. B. Birdwhistle. I never know how to pronounce his name. Whistle... Whistle, you tell me. What do you think?
Ooh, I'd say Whistle, because there's two L's.
All right, let's get another opinion on here.
Whistle.
Whistle.
We got, ooh, Whistle.
We got three Whistle. Slightly different pronunciations of
email
your name.
Email in to tell us how to pronounce your name.
Thank you. Please do. His number five is school summer camps. His number four is board games.
What?
His number three is CD drives and computers, JJ,
okay.
if you can hold your questions till the end. His number two is arcades, and his number one is recess.
Okay,
I would like to argue with the arcade thing, because now arcades
are in bars!
Free, and you can drink beer.
Arcades!
That is true, Mr. Can't pronounce your last name.
He must not live
also
in Chicago.
Like, wait, what was his number five again?
His number five was school summer camps.
Dude, I worked at a school summer camp. Hey, like,
wait,
what?
It was affiliated with a school, and it was like...
Oh, like a school... What? Whose fucking private-ass fucking school had a summer campus? What? I've never heard of that.
No, like, well, my school growing up had, like, fun summer school classes you could take. Like, I took a cooking class every summer.
You lived in Wisconsin. Anyway.
Anyway, like, we don't know where Mr. Birdwist is from.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's, like, missing out on a lot of shit. Because, like, all that stuff, I'm like, we've just improved. Thumb drives are, like, way better than CDs, dude. Mm-hmm. They hold way more shit. Yes, they're more easy to lose, but you can't fucking scratch them. Like, I don't miss CDs.
Also, board games.
I play board games, like, all the time.
Okay, he's a fan. Would you quit yelling at this poor, this
Mr.
poor person?
Mr. Last Name I can't pronounce.
Let me tell you one last thing, Mr. Last Name.
Yeah, I'm not affiliated with the show. Please don't get mad at Wes. Find me on Twitter @ Saint of Snark and come at me, bro.
Oh, God. All right.
Estelle is like...
You knew how this would go, Wes.
I knew you'd drink wine and you'd get sassy. I knew it. I knew it. And now the fans are suffering because of it.
Oh, suffering. They enjoy it.
So we have to go to our next email from... his name is from Oogie with Love. Yep. Let's all take a second.
Cool.
Reflect on that.
Okay.
Moment of silence. His number five is Spyro the Dragon on PS1. His number four is Daria. His number three is Lucas Candy Powder, : sure it had lead in it. His number two is when the Die Hard franchises had the word fuck in it. Good times.
What?
His number one is blowing in game cartridges to make them work, to make them work, period.
Wait, what franchises had fuck in it?
Die Hard.
Oh,
Die Hard. Like,
I heard that as like Die Hard franchises, like as a descriptor of franchises.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, I missed this. Okay, like that makes sense.
And now they're all PG-13 and watered down, and they don't have the F word in them. F word makes everything better.
They replaced like Merry Christmas, motherfucker, with Merry Christmas, Mr. Falcon.
Okay. A, it's Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Oh, and yeah.
B, you're correct.
Okay, I think my favorite, like, placement swear thing, though, is the one from Snakes on a Plane, which is, I'm sick of these Monday to Friday snakes on this... Oh, God, I forgot the other part of it.
The Monday-Friday plane. Yes. No, wait, no.
It's monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Yeah.
It's the replacement. And I was like, you cannot censor Samuel L. Jackson. Okay, we're going off track, though. Yeah.
Okay, I liked how he went super specific as opposed to general. So thank you, TJ, for that.
Yeah.
From Oogie with Love. Sorry, I didn't mean to use your first name. All right.
But yeah, Spyro's a good choice. Yeah.
Spyro. I never played Spyro. Did you?
I just like it because it has dragons.
Oh,
I've never played Spyro. I didn't have a gaming system until.
But you didn't have friends with gaming systems?
Well, my friends, like, we just would play dress up as children.
Oh.
Wow, you're such a girl.
You were such a girl.
My family
Which
did
is not,
not
a bad thing.
My family did not own a gaming system until Wii came out in, like, 2007.
And then
or
you got
eight.
Wii. Oh, God.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
anyway.
Is there another
by
list?
By the way, live action Daria is coming out. It's going to be starring.
Wait, are you sure that's real? I saw, like, a fake commercial for that. For Aubrey Plaza, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that was a fake commercial.
Oh, fuck, are you serious?
it's okay.
I got excited.
Oh, no.
I did, too. I love all the bi ladies. But, yeah. I
totally bought it.
Yeah.
No, I totally bought in the whole Netflix Firefly Season 2 April Fool's Day back in the day.
I got excited about that one. And also, I totally thought that, like the drawing dicks, like making of a murderer.
Oh,
parody.
I loved that thing. That was so funny.
I thought that was, like, I only saw the preview.
Oh,
from Netflix, and I
Googled
thought
it
was
when
real.
I
thought that.
Well, I think they're actually making it. I think it's, like, going to be a mockumentary.
I thought that this kid had actually been prevented from graduating.
Caitlin, maybe you are pure.
Guys, we're getting off track.
Okay.
That is all.
We just had to talk about drawing dicks, okay?
God damn it. This is all we have time for email section today. Thank you all so much for writing in.
Yes.
But we have to get to this week's top five.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's top five is our top five fan theories. Not necessarily the best, because how do you really rate that?
No.
Just the five that we find very interesting.
Yeah.
One caveat, we have each made up our own separate, one of these in here that we're about to go into, we made up ourselves that isn't already out there. And at the very end of our top five, we're going to have to guess to see which one's fake. So, how about I go first?
Mm-hmm.
My number five, I don't know if I really buy it, but I find it interesting.
Okay.
So, in the movie Aladdin, the genie has a lot of, like, modern-day references. And he's been trapped in that lamp for, what, thousands upon thousands of years?
Mm-hmm.
So, the fan theory is that Aladdin takes place in a very, very distant future. And the genie's been around in modern times. And, like, that's like, thousands of years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Doesn't he also say some line about, like, he's been trapped in the lamp for, like, 1,000 years or something? Like,
Yeah.
I think I've actually heard this one.
Because
people love crazy Disney theories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The one that Frozen is, like, the...
Frozen is
the kingdom where the Little Mermaid takes place.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
Wait,
what?
Is that underwater?
no, like Prince Eric's kingdom or that Elsa and Anna's parents were on the ship that sunk where Ariel finds all her treasures.
Well, that might be on my list.
Okay. Before we get too far into that.
Okay, so like the Aladdin one. I mean, the real thing is that Robin Williams wanted to do Robin Williams. And they probably just recorded Robin Williams and then animated around it is what I'm assuming is the real thing.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure.
But I, like, of like, the Disney fan theories, that one I have heard before and, like, is not super nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, oh, like, maybe it's, like, in the super future and, like, we've, like, lost science or something and we have magic now or something, like...
See,
not the worst ever.
I personally don't think it is plausible, because if it is in the distant future, wouldn't they find like relics of our time? I guess if it's like,
well, what if they've been completely destroyed and whenever apocalypse happened?
That is a good point.
Yeah.
So you think it's plausible?
But then, like, why not the possibility of a time traveling genie? Like, why couldn't he like psychically travel while he was inside the lamp?
One reason that is science fiction, and Aladdin is fantasy. That's why.
Oh, because sci-fi and fantasy never cross over.
Hermione doesn't have a time turner.
Name 600 examples, okay?
All right, big geek boy, bring it on.
Oh, God damn it. All right. Okay, maybe it is plausible, but that's my number five is Aladdin takes place in the much distant future.
Okay.
Actually, let's go to Caitlin for her five.
Oh, okay. So my number five is that... So I had to dig into a Twilight fan theory.
Yes! I love to hate Twilight.
Oh, thank God
Don't we all? I was so glad when you finished that sentence.
So my number five is that Bella is part werewolf.
What?
Bella Swan is part werewolf is a popular fan theory that explains why Edward can't read her mind.
I thought that was just bad writing. Well,
you know, the genius of Stephanie Meyer should never be underestimated.
Oh,
right?
You mean like how Bella has no personality on purpose? Like, that's not even a conspiracy or fan theory. Like, that's actually, she wrote her to have no personality so she could be an insert.
Oh, yeah.
And wait, like, what?
Oh, yeah. No, like, that's like a confirmed thing that she was like.
She wants all young women to be able to put themselves in Bella's shoes.
Into her Mormon fantasy.
Oh yeah. Boy. Okay.
Oh God. Yeah.
Mormon anyway. Snuff porn.
So like, wait. So what's the evidence for Bella being a werewolf?
Just that they think that explains her immunity to vampire powers. Since the werewolves and the vampires are like ancient enemies, and mm-hmm. werewolves are the only things that can destroy vampires.
But like, sure. Don't they think werewolves smell like really bad? And
yeah, that's where it falls apart. I think.
Yeah. I've never read Twilight. Because I just know things.
Edward is always like,
"You smell so good.
The smell of your blood stings."
My favorite entire moment is like, is Robert Pattinson having to be attracted to Kristen Stewart, and like is like has to like pretend to have a boner in the middle of like the science classroom, and he just like does this like full body twitch, and I was like, Robert Pattinson, you have had a boner before, like why are you acting like you don't understand how your body works?
Well, you know,
maybe it was so instant of a boner.
Yeah, I watched this great interview with Robert Pattinson about the filming of Twilight.
Oh no.
And he was talking about his character development for
what?
for Edward Cullen, and you know, as an actor that has studied movement, I find this very interesting. so he's like, he said to the interviewer, he's like, yeah, you know, my main method for for playing Edward Cullen is I just pretended to be stoned.
Pretended.
And constipated at the same time.
Wait, like, this is like a real thing you said.
Look it up. Like,
I can't. My phone is on airplane. Okay.
Oh God.
And he says, you know, and that's where I get that famous Edward Cullen sexy facial expression.
Sexy. Like,
yeah, that,
look,
like,
I like when my partner's like doing me hard, and it looks like he's like maybe a little bit in pain, but like that's like in the moment. Like, I don't want it like anywhere when we're not naked. Like, I just know.
Yeah, I don't know. I always thought that
you knew
was,
this would happen, Wes.
I knew it.
Wes is already face palming.
I knew it as soon as I had you guys on. I was like, oh God, it's only going to be a glass of wine before we get right into the sex.
Oh yeah. Not even.
I mean, like, I thought like, that facial expression was Edward Cullen like imagining like eating a cheeseburger or something, because you know, Edward Cullen is constantly talking about how he's hungry for Bella, but at once he's also romantically attracted to her, and he wants to have sex with her. But
I wonder where my fucked up ideas of romance came from as a child.
So,
but I need to share why I glommed onto this.
Oh,
please do.
I looked it up. So, in the Twilight series, it's the Quileute Native Americans that are werewolves, or like some of their young men are come
and
to
women.
Realize, like,
and women.
Oh yeah, I forgot that there are female werewolves.
I read the books.
Oh God, I'm so sorry.
I got really frustrated after like one and a half, and then I threw the book across the room. But
I read all the books, but got drunk to the fourth movie. Anyway,
but so the Quileute tribe, they're the ones who discover that they are werewolves, usually around puberty. And I kind of like this idea that Bella is one of those, like, basic Beckys who's just like, I'm 128th Quileute. It's just like, I think my, like, great-great-grandmother was, like, half Quileute.
Okay, now
so
I like
I'm,
this
like,
theory.
So I'm, like, part werewolf.
Oh, God.
I'm into it. Okay.
All right. But for real, do you think this is plausible or no?
You know, I feel like how Bella's blood sings to Edward kind of negates the theory.
Okay.
But, you know, in Stephanie Meyer's weird Mormon snuff porn world, yeah. Plausible.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I don't know enough about Twilight to weigh in, so I'm
but
saying
you know about
jury's
snuff
out.
Porn.
I know all about snuff porn.
Okay,
and
cool.
Tune in to next podcast. We're talking about top five
snuff porn.
JJ, plausible? No, or no?
Oh, I say no because of the smell.
Got it. All right. So, JJ, number five.
My number five. I partly picked this one just because it was one of the ones that I thought of as I was, like, watching this show. And then I looked it up and I wasn't the only one who thought of it. So, I got really excited. So, Steve from Stranger Things is John Ralphio's dad.
John Ralphio. Who's that?
From Parks and Rec.
Oh, I haven't seen Parks and Rec.
Oh, oh wow.
God.
Okay. Well,
so sorry.
It's okay. So yeah.
Steve is the cop, right?
No. Steve is the boyfriend who ends up not being shit.
Oh.
So this is one of those like everything is connected theories. But I love this one because legit, if you look up Steve from Stranger Things and John Ralphio, they have the same hair and like very similar facial expressions. And like I was watching the show and I was like, why is this actor so familiar? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, he looks exactly like the guy who plays John Ralphio. And then I saw that everyone was like glomming onto this. Now I'm stealing glom from you. This is your fault.
Oops.
Oh, God. It's contagious.
Yeah. Glom sounds like a contagious disease.
Well, it's going to glom onto me soon. Oh, no!
Bits. and so, yeah, I like it because it's sort of plausible because Stranger Things and Parks and Rec both take place in Indiana.
Okay.
The actors who play Steve and John Ralphio have done a video about them being related. And that's enough for me.
Well, God.
It was really cute. Like, they're like sitting in chairs and they were wearing the same outfit and they like keep like moving exactly like each other. And I was like very into it.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It's so great.
So do you think this is plausible?
I mean, it's like, as far as any sort of like, two completely, because like for instance, Parks and Rec is a comedy, and Stranger Things is a supernatural horror thing. It's as plausible as like two completely different genre TV shows being related. Like at least they're in like the same state. The two characters legitimately look so much alike, and the actors have kind of bought into it. So to me, that's like plausible enough. Like the actors like playing along with it is like all I need.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about it, so I can't weigh in.
Well, I mean. So you could argue that Parks and Rec is, you know, there's this other fan theory that it's basically The Simpsons in real life. Like
Wait,
Lisa
what?
Simpson turns into Leslie Knope, basically. And that...
Why would Lisa change her name?
No, but like one of the arguments is that, like, it's kind of an extrapolation on The Simpsons. So, and that
okay.
Springfield is kind of like Pawnee in that it's both infinitely large and
See, this is a
small.
Real I'm glad this is not on your list, because this is a real stretch
yeah,
in my
yeah.
book.
Okay, but like, hear me out here. So, and that kind of gives Parks and Rec this feeling of suspended reality in the same way that-
But I don't want that! I want Parks and Rec to be this pure, like, macaroni and cheese of a TV show where when I was very sad after the election, I watched a whole fucking lot of it, okay?
Well, yeah, and we could also say, like, you know, it could be part of the same universe because, you know, horror begets comedy, right?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's true.
Horror plus time equals comedy. And obviously, there was a lot of time between Stranger Things and Parks and Rec.
Yes. Yes.
There
true,
it
true,
is.
True, true, true.
Too true. Too true.
Too true. Okay.
Let's move on to my number four. So, my number four, Minority Report. I used to love this movie until I read this fan theory, and it ruined the movie for me.
Oh, no.
Has anybody seen this movie?
No.
Is anybody?
I've seen the TV show.
Okay. Has anybody, does anybody care about spoilers for the movie?
I know, like, the deal, so you can go ahead.
Okay, cool. Well, if you care about spoilers for Minority Report, this decade-old movie now, you can...
I think it's even older than that, yeah.
But yeah, fast forward 5 minutes. So the theory is... Once Anderton is placed into that little prison cubicle thing, the guard says, they say your life flashes before your eyes, that all your dreams come true. And then in the movie, he gets out of prison, he beats a bad guy, he gets the girl, he sets free these trapped, whatever they're called in the Minority Report. And then at the very end, the three, like, what are they called? Do
you remember? They're like the Seers or whatever.
The
like,
Seers, yeah.
Yeah, they have some name. Like, I haven't even seen this movie, but I know this.
Yeah, the three Seers are seen, like, not plugging that weird machine they were plugged into.
Mm-hmm.
And now, but they're living in a mansion in the Scottish Highlands or something. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a weird, that shot in particular is very, very weird.
Uh-huh.
But, when I first watched it, besides that final shot, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a fun movie. Beats a bad guy, gets a girl. But the guard says, they say your life flashes before your eyes and all your dreams come true.
Ooh.
And that's exactly what happened. So the fan theory is that he's still in prison. He never gets out. He's just living his dream in prison. And the bad guys are still the bad guys. And the girl's out there with no Tom Cruise love. So
well, maybe she's better off then.
Yeah, probably.
I would totally buy that because, like, for real, there's a reason that the everything was a dream theory is like, so popular. Mm-hmm. It's because people
and
really...
And also the M. Night Shyamalan twist, you know, where it's just like, and he was dead all along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I would totally buy that as a... Because, like, to me, if there's, like, actual, like, lines that support that theory, that's what it... Rude. Okay.
Ooh, come on. Hey out there.
Hey. But that's, I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen this movie, but like, I've lived in America. I know pop culture enough. I know of this movie. And that sounds like a very American movie thing to do, honestly. And so I'm like, yeah, I would totally buy into that.
I totally think it's plausible.
It sounds very pre-Matrix.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it ruined the movie for me, because I'm like, that has to be what happened. He's still trapped. He doesn't win.
Oh, no.
I know, exactly.
I kind of like it when the bad guy wins.
Oh, that's because you're a Slytherin.
Whoa. I didn't know we were going to be houseist in the year.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'm a Gryffindor. I will save us all.
Yeah. What do you think? Plausible or not?
Yeah, plausible. I mean, like, it is an M. Night Shyamalan twist, I would say. I think that needs to be coined as a movie trope.
I think that's... If you go on TV Tropes, I bet that's a thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, totally plausible. And I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
I know you don't. I know it ruined the movie for you, but...
It did. I used to love it. All right, fine.
Are you a Hufflepuff?
What's that?
Are you a Hufflepuff?
I am a Gryffindor.
No,
me
not.
Too.
I am. My Patronus is a St. Bernard, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then I accept that. I accept that. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go to your number four.
Okay. All right. So I had to do a Fight Club fan theory.
Of course.
Because I know that the internet was done discussing this years ago, but I'm on another podcast, 10 minutes about your favorite movies, talking about Fight Club. So I felt like I needed to pay a little homage to
bring
that.
Bring it back.
So the fan theory is that Marla is imaginary in Fight Club, in the same way that Tyler Durden is imaginary.
Sure.
Spoilers.
God. Sorry, guys. We're spoiling this 20-year-old movie.
Oh, God. Okay.
We're fine. It's fine.
Oh, okay. I hope you have a spoiler alert at the beginning.
Totally. Spoiling everything.
Everything.
And And the idea is that, like, even though she is acknowledged by the waiter and men in the house when they start their soap making sort of commune,
mm-hmm.
they she is still a figment of his imagination, as in she and Tyler Durden represent the different facets of the narrator's personality. And now, since I saw the movie before I read the book, and yes, I read the book because I was obsessed with the movie as a teenager.
Ooh, mm-hmm. The book ending is better than the movie ending, in my opinion.
It is. But, I agree.
Mm-hmm, okay, yes. But that's a different matter.
Yes.
That is a fan.
Oh, but if you read the book, that totally dissuades your theory then.
Yes, it does. Like, but you know, I do think that an argument can be made for understanding the book and the movie on their own terms.
Oh, completely.
In this case.
Yeah.
You know, and that's for a variety of reasons. But you know, the argument that Marla is imaginary is just grounded in the idea that Tyler and Marla represent different facets of the narrator's personality.
Mm-hmm.
I personally disagree with this theory because I think that Marla and Tyler represent reality,
mm-hmm.
and then the narrator's crumbling psyche. I've always referred to the narrator in my head as Ed, because Edward.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rather than Jack. I mean,
I've heard a couple of people call him Jack, and I'm like,
he's Ed.
Yeah, I always call him Edward Norton. Like, I'm always like, oh, Tyler Durden and Edward Norton, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to talk about just because I imagine imagining, like, Tyler Durden, Edward Norton, like, just humping the shit out of his bed without Marla being there.
Yes! Yeah. I am, like, hallucinating her saying the line, I haven't gotten fucked like that since middle school.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh, but the original line
is, I want to have your abortion.
Yeah.
Which is better.
It is.
That's so much less squicky to me than the middle school line, honestly.
Well, you know, I think Chuck Palahniuk was punishing the producer for making him change that line in the first place, because that was the line in the original movie, in like the original script, but then the producer was like, you can't say that this woman wants an abortion.
And it's like, everything else that happens to Marla, A-okay.
Yeah. Just, that's fine.
She could not have an abortion. You know, she can walk into moving traffic,
but then Chuck
Palahniuk cannot kill a fetus.
But then Chuck Palahniuk was just like, okay, fine, like, she hasn't been fucked like that since grade school.
Yeah, it's grade school, right?
Oh, I think it's grade school. Oh, God. Oh, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Like, yeah, how somehow that's less horrifying than the original line.
Chuck Palahniuk was trying to be horrifying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, like, read any of his books and it's like, but yeah. So to me, I think partly because of having read the book, and I actually really love the ending in the books, I'm going to go hell no on that.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, cause I don't care how many fuckboys love that movie. I also love Fight Club because I see it as a criticism of toxic masculinity rather than actually like praising it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I think it's fun to imagine. I can't see it though. I don't think it's plausible. I think where does it stop? Where does it end? Like, is
reality's not real? Now we're in the Matrix.
Yeah, is every movie actually the Matrix?
It totally is, guys.
Yep. Oh man, that was like one of those things that I was like, oh, do I want to do a Matrix theory? And I was like, no, I don't.
I'm like, oh so my god, no. So,
what's your number four, Jage?
Okay. So, I had to look up Harry Potter theories. I absolutely had to.
Oh.
I
might have one.
There are so many.
Yeah.
Me too.
There's so many. I figured that we all would have one. So mine is that, Fred and George practice legilimency, which is the mind reading thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that one is Fred and George, like, just do a lot of fucking weird shit in the books that, like, never gets quite explained. The main one I think that has, like, that bore a lot of theories was the fact that they predicted the World Cup. Yeah, and the one that the really persuasive theory for that one is the time turner thing. Like, a lot of people think that they had a time turner, but I like this theory better. Mine go in order of like things I like to like ones that I think are incredibly dumb, and I like this one better because I think for me this one explains more of their other stuff. Because for me the problem is if they had a time turner, why? Spoiler alert. why wouldn't they prevent Fred's death?
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't believe that George would have a time turner and not prevent Fred's death.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the mind reading thing explains them getting away with so many pranks before they decide to leave school.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that for instance, like I was looking up some of the evidence for this one, and like, for instance, one of the things was like they get the Marauders map, like,
mm-hmm.
no problem. Basically.
Oh yeah, they just have it, right?
They just have it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like I like this theory because it's like, oh, they read Filch's mind and found out that he had the Marauders map, mm-hmm. and like stole it. And like I think this is like how they got away with it. Like, and for me, like I read another thing that was like, oh, the origin of it would be like they read each other's minds because they were twins.
Oh,
and they
sure.
decided to keep doing it. I was like, oh, I actually really like this theory.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I would totally believe them being like very benevolent mind readers.
Oh, know? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I actually totally believe in like the twins being able to be really in tune with each other. I have cousins that are twins.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They bought the same make and model car, same color, like within a week of each other.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they did not say like to each other, I'm buying a new car. They didn't
wait, like this is like an actual car, like not a toy,
right? Yeah. Like,
whoa, that's a
when
big
they were
purchase.
Yeah, yeah. When my twin cousins were you know, in their 20s, they bought the exact same car like within a month of each other without realizing it.
Whoa.
Same
yeah.
make and model, same color.
Like, yeah.
Well,
yeah, and it was freaky, and they were like very upset about it too.
Well, we all know that A, twins are creepy,
yeah.
And B, they can only be killed with a silver bullet. So,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I find this theory completely plausible.
Yeah,
sweet.
I found it, I was like, this is great.
Yeah, yeah. Explains it, a lot.
Yeah,
I hope that J.K. Rowling goes more into detail about their exploits in
because there's like they get up to a lot of shit and like get away with it too, and
oh,
I'm like
yeah.
you can only do so much with white privilege in the wizard world, like come on.
And that's really what the podcast here today is about.
I told you,
white privilege in the wizarding world.
Oh yes. Yeah. That should be the name of the episode.
Oh god.
All right, so plausible.
All right. My number three is a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan theory. I said fan fact because I am all up in this. The fan theory is Drusilla, before she was turned into a vampire,
mm-hmm.
was a potential slayer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, what's the evidence? Because I'm like already into this, but like what's the evidence? Because I kind of love Drusilla.
Because you know how Buffy, when she was about to be a slayer, she had like some precognition about some things, mm-hmm. and like she continued to have some psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And Drusilla is going to confession because she's having psychic premonitions.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And she was at that age when people are about to become a slayer.
Yeah.
And Angelus is, you know, is very like, there's some force that really, I'm just reading into this now. They don't go into this in the show, but Angelus is obsessed with her for some reason,
mm-hmm.
because she's so pure. But what if like he's
yeah,
so
Caitlin
evil?
Rob.
Oh yes. Did someone say my name?
What if he's so evil that he could just sense that there was a potential slayer in her, and like
mm-hmm.
that's why he tortured her mentally?
Or like a threat, like just like he like senses a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking buy this. Like I totally fucking buy this.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I don't even know the series that well. I mean, I know it from your performance of Once More with Feeling, but
mm-hmm.
and that's all you need to know.
That is about the extent of my knowledge of Buffy the Vampire.
By the way,
but I buy it.
By the way, I play Xander in the live performance of Once More with Feeling. Plug
like I
over.
Said, golden retriever turned into a human.
That's exactly right. Wearing a sweater.
Yeah,
and
wearing a
Xander.
Sweater. I thought they just went hand in hand. That golden retrievers would
on.
Wear sweaters. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I totally buy this. Like, the thing with Buffy for me personally is that I know so much about Buffy by proxy because I had a very dear friend who loved Buffy,
mm-hmm.
and we were both like big nerds, and we were always trying to get each other into our stuff. So we had an agreement that I would watch like several episodes of Buffy if they would watch several episodes of Lost.
Because mm-hmm.
I have a thing about Lost. Oh my god, I didn't pick a Lost theory because there's just also like so many ridiculous ones. Like I thought about doing it.
Yeah.
Well, the plot itself is crazy.
It's really if you binge it, it's like much easier. But anyway, so I've watched like very random episodes of Buffy because they were like, you should watch this, and I was like, okay, this isn't season six, but all right. Like,
sure.
The, spoiler alert, they showed me the episode where Anya dies.
But that's the finale!
Yeah, like, they just, like, showed me it, and I was like, oh, okay.
Who is this friend?
We said we can't do names, so I'm not going to say it.
Okay,
it's
you're
like
right.
Not a common name too. So like it's like, but yeah, I was like, okay, and I loved Anya. Like I really like liked Anya, and I was like, okay. And, so, and I've seen like Once More with Feeling so many times, and I've seen, I've seen honestly, I have like a lot of nerd friends who are also like extremely intelligent, like essays about like certain aspects of Buffy.
Sure.
So like I know like all the spoilers. So I'm like, yeah, I totally buy it. Oh, I also watched a lot of Angel.
Oh yeah, Angel's great.
I loved Angel because my main issue with Buffy is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay.
I don't like her.
She's kind of polarizing in Buffy. I think she's great, but I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah, and like David Boreanaz is like. Makes me feel really hetero, so I really, really like Angel.
Sure. Well, I think David Boreanaz like took a bunch of acting classes in the like seasons 2 and 3 of Buffy.
It's so,
so
true.
It's
yes!
so
good.
Oh my like,
God. So obvious.
It's
like,
so
it's like,
obvious.
Wow, quality.
Jesus Christ, you are a leading man. You're not.
Yeah,
just
was
a
he not really an actor before that? Had he like never gotten
I mean,
on
like,
screen before?
So many people just like get into television. You know,
just, oh, just walk into television. There
yeah,
are
so many like gorgeous, muscly men. Just got to
but
walk
like, really.
Onto a television set, and then they have a
white privilege the
role.
Show,
and that's what this podcast today is about: white
that's
privilege in the entertainment
about.
World.
I don't have I a bachelor's should... degree in drama and struggling to get an agent.
Yeah, okay, Caitlin.
So I can't get past your friend showed you the finale of a show. Who does that?
Like I know.
I really wanted you to get into Lost. Here's the finale. Okay, start from the beginning.
Oh my God, that would be honest. Oh God, that'd be like. Truly, if you showed someone like the sixth season of Lost and then expected them to like the show,
oh yeah,
that'd be like truly evil. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
If someone did that to me, I'd be like, wow, do you hate me? Like,
no, it's good. Don't you get it? There's polar bears and the Dharma Initiative.
Oh, that's
and...
like, but here's the thing that's like not even in the sixth season. Like,
oh, that's
like,
true.
That's because like the polar bears thing actually gets explained, Dharma gets explained.
Yeah,
the sixth season's just like a bunch of like certified fan fiction. It's like, ugh. Like, let's not get into Lost, because, like, I'll get so angry.
Fair enough. Like, but, oh. Okay, but my number three, Drusilla being a Slayer, plausible.
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 All right. Caitlin, what's your number three?
Okay, so I kind of want to circle back to the Harry Potter theme while we're still somewhat near it.
Please.
Let's do it.
So, and this is personally one that I'm a little obsessed with. It's that J.K. Rowling did not decide whether or not Harry was going to die at the end. You know, until pretty late in the game.
Ooh.
And, you know, we can extrapolate forever on when exactly, but, you know, she apparently had drafts of how the book would end.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm a little obsessed with, like, what, like, at what point did J.K. Rowling decide that Harry Potter was going to survive to adulthood? Like,
ooh.
Adulthood. Like, and, you know, that he was actually going to beat Voldemort by sacrificing himself and then coming back. Mm-hmm. Like, when did she decide that he was actually going to survive that ordeal? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is more of a question than, you know, that the internet poses to us all the time. And then,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and I always like to say that I think that Harry was... slated to die for a good chunk of the
Whoa.
Series.
Really?
Ooh,
yeah.
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
Hot take.
And, you know, there are, you know, things floating around that say that J.K. Rowling had endings, you know, all written out that had him dying and not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I personally think that, you know, the Horcruxes was... something that was introduced very late in order that Harry could come back and survive.
I don't mean to cut you off. I'm like hand wavy on this one because I know for a fact that J.K. Rowling was late on deciding whether or not Arthur Weasley would die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually because I remember her saying. Because Arthur Weasley's died, she had Lupin die. So I know she's been late on people dying. However, I think so much of the last book was planned from the very fucking beginning. Like, the cloak and all that stuff was, like, planned, I think, from very early on. Because, like, a lot of her stuff is, like, clearly very, very much planned. I don't know if I believe that. I think maybe, like, when the book started getting popular, she realized she had to figure it out. But, like, I don't think... I think she knew by, like, maybe book three. Because she's talked about how... someone who likes death way too much. She's talked a lot about how the book is about death.
Yeah.
And so I think she would have figured out the most important death pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, like, that's plausible to me. But, like, I feel like the Horcruxes became important very late. And I also think that, like, maybe book five... you know, with Professor Trelawney's prophecy, you know, that was her making a decision about that, but that could still go both ways because
but
to
like
me,
book three, we get like stuff about death, Harry's death with Trelawney, you know?
Yeah.
Cause of the Grim, my boy.
Oh, you're doomed.
You're doomed. You're going, wait, well, also, he like, is doomed you're going to suffer, but you'll be happy about it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, and that's true in a way. Yeah.
Okay, so do you believe this theory? Or I guess, is this a proven fact in the Harry Potter world?
Well, yeah, that J.K. Rowling wrestled with it, yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's just author shit. I don't know, like, by late, okay, for you, like, by late, what do you mean by late? Like, she decided late.
I actually think that book five was probably the the earliest that she really like solidified her decision about Harry surviving the ordeal.
See, I don't believe that.
I personally,
but then there's that one connection in book four when you know Harry and Voldemort are fighting in the graveyard and their wands make that connection and they. And neither one of them wants to break it, and their wands are connecting.
But we talk about the wands connecting in book one.
We do, but, like, I think that enforces the idea of them being inextricably connected and that Harry dying is necessary to the destruction of Voldemort. And then we find out about the Horcruxes later on,
mm-hmm.
and then that puts them on this quest to go destroy them in order to destroy Voldemort.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I think the latest I would believe is book three, she decided. I think that's the latest.
I guess my bitter cynical side is like, I don't know, maybe when the book series got wildly popular, she's like, well, I can't fucking kill Harry Potter because everyone will burn down my flat.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is, the books got wildly
actually
popular
one
after
thing
like
that
two.
I think might have influenced it. Like, I wonder how much the popularity of the books influenced J.K. Rowling's
decisions. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't. You just, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to think that the books would have been much sexier if she didn't know that 9-year-olds were reading them.
6-year... book number
Yo.
Six. I think Harry
British.
Potter had a boner.
Totally. They talk a lot about snogging.
Second time talking about boners. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm
okay.
surprised
Snogging.
It's only number two.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm gonna go no.
I'm gonna go pretty early.
Yeah, like book three. Like I can't. Book three. There's so much. Like book three is when they get really fucking dark.
Love book three.
Yeah, I
yeah,
love book
me
three
too.
Like that's like my favorite.
My, yeah,
so that's the thing is I think she favorite. Decided in book three. You know,
okay.
I would believe that she originally had him designed to die, and then changed her mind. But I don't think she wrestled with it as long as you think. Because as someone who's as a writer, you can't wrestle that long.
Which is kind of fucked up because he's an 11-year-old in book one. He's like, I'm going to kill this 11-year-old in a few years.
You know what? We talked about hating children. Anyway.
Anyway. So JJ, you're number three.
All right. My number three. All right. So this got addressed earlier, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. So Tangled and Frozen and Little Mermaid are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I've seen this get, like, crazier, and I just was like, this is too stupid. But this one, I was like, this is just believable enough that I can bring it up in a setting that is permanent. And Basically, so like this is like a kind of confirmed thing, but you see Rapunzel and Eugene at Farendale or whatever, the Arendelle or whatever the fuck.
Rivendell, the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, okay. Frozen. Anyway, you see them at like in the city while Anna is singing. So that's like a confirmed thing. Like the two of them are there. So people extrapolated from that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. You can see them. Yeah. You see, and you know it's later too because it's Rapunzel's like after getting cut hair.
Oh.
Her brown hair.
Mm-hmm. To the Rachel cut.
Yeah. The Rachel cut. Yeah. My cut. Yeah. Basically. But yeah, so you see them there, and so people extrapolated and said, oh, they're cousins, they're related. And I was like, this is plausible.
All royal families are related.
Yeah. Partly they did that because they have the same facial shape. That's just because Disney's fucking lazy and can't animate women.
Oh my god.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I guess they're related, but also, like, please just do women with normal-sized eyes. But, like, really, normal-sized eyes and normal-sized chins, like, for the love of godless.
Sexism and animating. That's a real reason we're here today.
No, but like, okay, that, like, sidetrack. That's, like, actually a really big problem is, like, because so many men are animators, like, that, like, they just, like, make women in these, like, fucking weird proportions, and you're like, what? Children are watching this.
Come on now.
And then the thing that Caitlin brought up earlier is that the other theory is that the ship that Elsa and Anna's parents travel out on that crashes is the ship that Ariel explores at the beginning of Little Mermaid.
Interesting.
Because these stories all take place in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically saying like, oh, everyone's related and like interconnected. It gets like the part that I'm like, just no. Like someone says like, oh, they survived and they're Tarzan's parents or something, and I'm like, no. But I'm like, the ship. I'm like, okay, maybe.
Sure.
I mean, I think the thing for me mainly is like, I don't need everything in Disney to be interconnected.
No, who does?
You know, because I love.
Are you going to be okay? Or do
I'm
going
to be fine.
Okay.
I'm just like touching my chest because I love myself. but I love Tangled. I love Little Mermaid. Frozen can exist.
Oh, wow. Strong
Fair
words.
Enough.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to go in. I think Frozen is extremely mediocre as a movie. But Tangled is super underrated. Like, I very much love Tangled.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I've actually never seen Tangled.
We're going to get divorced! We're going to get divorced!
No, JJ, I'll try harder.
Okay.
I'll work at this.
All right. It's a very easy fix. But yeah.
It'll literally take 90 minutes.
Yeah. Because I love Tangled because, like, for instance, Flynn Rider is super endearing as a character.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, I understand people wanting to make this connection because, like, there's actual evidence. Like, you see them there. They don't necessarily have to be related, but technically they showed up there. And then the ship thing is like, I guess it could be the same ship.
So what is the actual fan theory that you're positing?
The fan theory is that they all take place in the same universe, just slightly apart time-wise. So that, basically, Rapunzel is Elsa and Anna's cousin, so she shows up at the coronation because of that. And that the ship that Elsa and Anna's parents leave on is the ship that Ariel finds.
Okay.
So
they're
all connected because of these specific events.
See, you know what? Since they're there at the coronation.
Yeah, I totally agree with the Rapunzel and Frozen.
Yeah, like that part
connection.
I'm like,
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Because it's clearly, like, yes, it's an Easter egg, but I'm like, okay, but, like, that's, like, cousins, like, not a huge extrapolation.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, okay, distant cousins came to the wedding.
Yeah.
They're all royal. They're all royal, too, so I'm
sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I say plausible.
Okay, cool.
Well, actually, I would like to, I kind of want to pick apart the Frozen and Little Mermaid connection.
Okay.
You know, sure, they're are sunken ships in both of those, but Frozen, like the design choices were all very Scandinavian.
Yeah.
And I think they were meant to imply that Frozen takes place in a kingdom in, you know, Sweden, Norway, somewhere in there.
Wasn't there like a specific tribe that the opening song is based off of? And then there was like no people of color in the movie and people got mad.
I have no idea.
That's a whole other thing. I don't have the internet right now to look up that. But that's a whole that caused a Facebook fight at one point.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But then, like, I thought that based on the architecture of Prince Eric's kingdom in The Little Mermaid, that was taking place somewhere along the Mediterranean. Because they have those, like, Spanish-style roofs.
Well, I mean,
how far did that ship go? Like, who knows
how
far they were traveling?
Yeah, who knows where, you know, this Scandinavian king and queen were going?
Yeah. That's actually legitimately never addressed, like, where the fuck they were going and leaving the kids behind.
Bye!
Yeah. So, okay.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, let's be real here. The Vikings were, you know, from Scandinavian kingdoms, and they had the ability to travel very long distances. So, sure. Plausible.
So, plausible. Three plausibles.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And now we're going to my number two, which is, speaking of Harry Potter, people ago. So, my theory is, and I think, I'm just going to say right now it's plausible, Harry Potter turned the Dursleys into assholes. They started out as very...
Oh, because of the Horcrux?
This is the Horcrux! Mm. They started out as, like, nice people. And if you look at, like, Lily, what was her maiden name? Lily Potter? What's her... Lily Mayweather.
Evans. I think it's Evans.
Lily Evans.
Evans.
Lily
Evans.
Evans. Petunia?
Petunia. Aunt Petunia.
Oh, my God. Their parents were obsessed with flowers. I'm just getting that right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Lily and James would have, like, named their first daughter, like, Daisy or Rose or something.
All right. So, because he's a Horcrux, and we've seen the Horcruxes corrupt people over time. It corrupts Ron Weasley in a matter of hours, a day or two.
Yeah, and, anti-corrupts Dolores.
Because
she's wearing the necklace.
Oh boy, Jage, you're a mess.
Pino on the boob.
We got a little Pino on the boob situation
Pino
right now.
Pino on the boob, it's fine. talk about the Dursleys.
Okay, so we've seen that the Horcruxes turn people into assholes a matter of days or weeks or whatever.
Yeah, so what having baby Harry the Horcrux in the Dursleys' home for all those years, like, they would turn into assholes.
For 10 years, these guys are comically evil Harry, just shy of starving him to death.
He hits him in the face with a frying pan at one point.
That's true. The only thing that doesn't hold up.
I bet it's the same thing. Anyway, keep going.
Aunt Marge.
Oh.
She was
already a bitch.
She's already a complete asshole bitch. So we can't really blame Harry for that one. And if, you know, Vernon and Aunt Marge are related, then... I don't know.
Yeah, and we also can't forget the baggage that Petunia carries with her from, like, she really resents Lily, even when Harry's 11 years old and her sister's been dead for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she still talks about, you know, she came home from Hogwarts, you know, turning teacups into mice.
Which, by the way, is illegal.
Yeah. I was like, girl, how'd you get away with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's probably, Petunia's imagination. But, like, I think the resentment there is very real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or is that the Horcrux making her, kind of inventing the resentment towards her sister?
I have a sister. And, like, let me just say, like, man, it's only through the power of, like us staying in contact with each other that we do not, like, seriously resent each other for, like, the dumbass shit we did. And neither of us were magical. So, I would say the opposite, honestly.
The opposite of magical? So you're not magical?
I'm a very, very muggle. I struggle with locks. My issue with this is, why wouldn't it turn Harry into an asshole?
Or an asshole.
Asshole, yeah. Ew. But so it's like in his brain, like in his body. Exactly. Why wouldn't it like fuck him up? If it was fucking up people around, like, also, why didn't it turn Ron into an asshole? Why didn't it turn, like, everyone who's around him into an asshole?
Exactly.
Why didn't it only mess with the Dursleys?
Sure.
And, like, especially also, they were still an asshole to him.
Yeah, and they're muggles, so they're supposed to be, like, less sensitive to
magic.
Yeah.
So I like the idea partly because, honestly, as a kid, the Dursleys were very upsetting to me. Like, the bars on the window thing was really, like, creepy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it almost takes away if you make them, give them an excuse.
Sure.
Because, like, sometimes people are just shit.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
I mean, like, I think it's very powerful to, like, hold the Dursleys up.
Dursleys.
Say, yeah, Dursleys.
The Dursleys.
and say, like, you know, they're able to hold this resentment, like, this intergenerational resentment against an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's... To be fair, 11-year-old boys are also awful.
That's so true.
They're not as bad as 13-year-old boys.
That's true.
Or 15-year-old boys.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Like, that's the thing is, I'm like, I think also the fact that the opening line, I only know this because of Tumblr, strike me where I stand, is about, like, Mr. Dursley talking about being very normal. He's like, he's very normal, thank you very much. And I'm like, as someone who spent time around British people, let me just say, they care very much about being normal. Like, that's a very real thing.
Yeah, like, I didn't realize until, like, the very late Harry Potter books how much I might
fucking
have
British
been,
there. Anyway, sorry.
How much I might have been missing just because of, like, the American-British cultural disconnect.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm saying... After I thought it was plausible until we started talking about it, but now I'm not plausible.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I mean, like, if Harry had, like, had sex with Cho Chang or something, would she have
like become
asexual? Infected?
Like, dear God.
Yeah.
He's like,
Harry, what's your problem? Like, I think this is definitely also a woman trying to write a PG book, but, like, the fact that he, like, never has a boner, like, the entire, like, series.
It never covers, like, the magical boner.
Oh, God.
Like, Harry Potter and the magical boner.
Okay, can I just, like, air what I always wondered about Harry Potter? It's like, okay, it's high school. Like, these wizard kids must have had some kind of magical contraceptives, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, magical condoms or something?
Oh, yeah.
I wish we had magical condoms. Like, that sounds great.
Yeah, like, I keep thinking about, like, all these horny teenagers, like, in their dormitories with their four-poster beds.
Yeah, like, there's, like, that whole, like, go up the stairs and it turns into a slide thing, and I'm like...
And tickling charms? Like, what the fuck?
Also, like, love potions are...
Oh, boy.
Oh, let's, like, not...
But, like, the stairs, going back to the stairs, they only turn into slides when the men went up to the ladies' rooms.
Yeah.
The ladies are just as horny.
And as anyone who's ever been in a college campus, you know you fucked in the boys' bathroom showers, not the girls'. Dead silence!
Actually, you know what? You're right. I did do that.
Oh, thank you. Okay, because I was like, as someone who got caught in the women's one, but definitely did not get caught in the men's one.
We just fucked in the handicapped shower.
Of which, though?
Oh, no.
We had
gender-neutral one?
Well, we had,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, gender-neutral shower? Dude, that's fuck shower.
So my freshman year,
it has bars!
So my college, my freshman year, we had, like, men's and women's floors, but then
Jesus.
But then my sophomore year, it was all changed over to, like, staggered genders and, like, you know, it was men and women together.
I don't understand this with colleges because I'm like, dude, people are going to sexile their roommates. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't understand.
People understand stairs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
yeah.
Or elevators. Like, my college dorm had an elevator.
Hey, you know, okay, maybe... So Hogwarts is a very old building with a lot of very ancient spells on it.
Yeah.
And
you know what? There's this thing called counter spells.
Yeah, but like let's think about this for a second. So, you know, in like the mindset of, you know, men are always the pursuers and the aggressors.
This is an extremely feminist episode. You're welcome.
Man, you know, we needed it.
Maybe,
yeah.
You know, maybe Godric Gryffindor, when he was designing the common room, was like, hey, you know, like, we need to, like, protect the virtue of the Lady Gryffindors, and we have to make the stairs turn into a slip and slide when the boys try to go up to it.
My hope is that the Slytherin common room, there's just, like, high fives.
Yeah.
It's just, like, hands come out of the walls and there's high fives.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's the thing, like, good Slytherins are just, like, definitely huge sluts.
Oh, yeah, and on drugs. They have the drugs.
No, Ravenclaws are definitely like druggies.
Oh no, Hufflepuffs are.
No, but Ravenclaws are nerds. They're way too worried about their
Adderall.
Grades.
Adderall.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. Like Adderall will fuck you up way more than a lot of other shit, dude. Adderall and cocaine. Like I bet they were on Wizard cocaine.
Yeah, Ravenclaws. That's my new fan theory. Are on Adderall list, and Wizard cocaine and the Gryffindors. They're just like they're too.
Ooh,
brave.
I need more liquid courage. I'm gonna get drunk on. Butterbeer.
I mean, yeah. Gryffindors are definitely like the drunk frat boys. Like, let's be real.
Okay.
I'm saying with two Gryffindors, I'm going to like call you out. Okay.
Is there more Pinot on the boob situation?
It's just going to happen, dude.
Okay, fair enough. So implausible. I think we all agree. Okay. God, we spent a long time on that one. Let's,
Harry Potter, man.
Interacting with a Horcrux person does not make you an asshole.
You just are.
An asshole.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Caitlin, you're number two.
Okay, so I'm not sure who in the audience is a Sense8 fan, but...
Yes!
So,
oh, wait, no. No spoilers, right? Because we're not...
I'm not finished.
I'm not finished either. Season two.
Oh, no, no spoilers for this one. Okay. I tried not to read fan theories beyond where Wes and I are in Sense8 right now.
Oh, this is so romantic.
Oh God, Pino
JJ
on the boob.
JJ just threw up all over me.
I just like all right. Pino all over my boobs.
So, this fan theory is that Wolfgang is dead.
What?
Yeah. So the theory is that he died during the shootout where Felix gets seriously injured.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
And so the theory is that like maybe So you know how the reality of Sense8 is really based on the perception mm-hmm. of the Sense8s, you know, and
yeah.
I think that's actually why, like, the development of the villains
mm-hmm.
in the, like, the first few episodes is, like, very heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also the Wachowskis. Like,
yeah.
You know, I love them, but they're not subtle.
Yeah.
You know, like... It's just like, look at this transphobic parent. Look at this killer cop.
Yeah.
I love Sense8, but like, yeah, there's not a lot of shades of gray.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No,
they also side
not.
With the cop and like the Chicago cop in like the first few episodes. And I'm like, girls.
Yeah.
Have you been to Chicago? Anyway, sorry. That was a quick sidetrack. Anyway.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah. But the theory is that, you know, Wolfgang's. Like kind of minimal presence with his cluster is because he actually died.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And his presence, kind of like how Angelica's presence is still intermittently there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's kind of there as a memory rather than an actual interaction. And then in real life, like when Felix goes to meet with the king, you know, they aren't really acknowledging him that much. So maybe he's like there in spirit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, like actually being there. But then this other Sense8 who might actually be there can see his memory and like they mm-hmm. have those like sexy experiences together.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I don't think I buy this one because like the
Felix talks to him like that to me alone is like Felix has, for instance, like Felix has several interactions with him where he talks to Wolfgang.
Yeah, and we see Angelica. They see her, but it's like a memory. She doesn't really talk to him.
They don't interact with. But like, Angelica only talks to fucking Chicago cop guy. I never
and Nomi. Angelica talks to Nomi a lot.
Does she talk?
A little bit. Like, not much, though.
Well, Nomi senses her, like, in the forest and everything.
She senses her, but, like, she doesn't sense her until she gets there. I'm sorry. I, like, really don't buy this theory because, like, Wolfgang shoots people.
I kind of have to agree. It's
but maybe his memory is stronger since he died
stronger
more recently.
Stronger than bullets? Like, I'm sorry, no.
No, but, like, I mean, we think about Angelica's memory, and she would have died much longer ago than Wolfgang would have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then, like, most of the interactions could be explained by, like, the empathetic capacity of the non-Sense8s. Or the Willow.
I can't. Wolfgang. I'm sorry, girl. I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. It's just, like, people visit Wolfgang where he's at.
Yeah.
It's... I'm saying this one isn't plausible. Do you have any more evidence or?
Oh man, I'm afraid I'm like too deeply into this.
All right, that's fair.
Okay. I love Wolfie, but
Wolfie.
You know,
I love his full frontal nudity.
Oh god.
So does Caitlin.
Oh yeah!
What did I say last time we got like a really nice view of Wolfie? I was like, "Oh, look at that hot piece of German beefcake."
I was like, oh, "Okay."
I think it's fair as long as you're allowed to like salivate over who's your human and like sensei that you like think is the sexiest.
Oh,
this is like actually a legit question. Now I'm curious.
I think so. Who we got? We have Riley, we have Kala, we have Nomi, and we have
Sun.
Son,
yeah.
I think it's Kala.
Yeah, I was going to say Kala.
By a mile.
Yeah. Knowing you, I'm like, I'd go with Kala.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
What about you, Jage?
Oh, for me, everyone.
There it is. Those sex scenes, you're right in the middle of them.
Oh, literally. I just like sit there and I'm like, I'm in the middle of that pile. Anyway.
All right,
so
Jage, number two.
My theories get dumber as they go along.
Great.
So I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. I love Game of Thrones. So this theory, I was like just Googling Game of Thrones theories because I have gone down so many YouTube holes of like Game of Thrones theories. And this one was like my favorite, like really dumb one. And it's that Hodor is a horse. You can warg with animals, and that means like switching bodies with animals, right? And then, so we see a vision of Hodor. Hodor, when he can talk a lot more, he can say more than Hodor. And that vision, he's next to a horse. and this was before we found out why he can only say Hodor. And this theory came out, and he's a lot more talkative around Lyanna and her horse.
Oh my god.
And so what caused him to stop talking is he was warging too much, and he's a stable boy. What would he warg with? A horse.
What?
Change.
That's it.
What?
Change. What? How dare you bring that theory into our apartment?
The next one's worse.
So how do we explain like those three seasons where he's a human being and toting Bran around the tundra?
No. He warged too much with the horse and it broke his mind.
Well,
that's
we know how his mind broke. He was holding the door.
Hold
the door.
Oh, so before we found out how his mind broke, this theory.
Also, maybe his mind broke in other ways.
Okay. I'm saying.
By working with horses too much.
I don't.
You know what? Equus.
Oh my god.
Jage, I'm not even. What? No. Totally implausible. This is like the medieval version of the magical version of masturbation. Like you can't do it too much or you go blind. Like what?
He didn't jerk off a horse. He just melded minds with it.
No, what? I'm saying warging. There is how do I can't even speak anymore. That is implausible.
So plausible, right?
Like, no. Oh, Jage.
I thought that I could not feel. Words for Hodor. But
yeah.
Now I do.
I'm glad that I could make you feel bad.
Oh my god.
Okay. Right.
So clearly.
My number one.
So my number one is from Firefly.
Hell yeah.
My theory, my number one is that Kaylee is Malcolm Reynolds' daughter, long lost daughter.
Oh.
So Malcolm Reynolds, during Firefly, he is 49 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If we like go,
he doesn't look 49.
I know, mm-hmm. But if you go with the flashbacks of the battle and you like do the map, mm-hmm. He's 49 years old.
Yeah.
And the theory goes like he had a wife and daughter before the war. Mm-hmm. His wife died. He thought his daughter died, but really she was adopted onto another planet or like taken and adopted to another planet. And he heard these rumors about his daughter on this other planet. So that's the real reason why he went to the planet where Kaylee was. Then they changed her name from whatever she was to Kaylee Fry. So that's when he comes in and he sees her having sex with the original mechanic. He doesn't know who she is until through talk she realizes she's adopted from his home planet. And then that's why, that explains why he's never attracted to her. She literally says
to him. Oh, because he would automatically be attracted to any woman on his ship.
But I think she's the most attractive person in the world, okay? On that show.
That's fair. That's plausible.
And that's why, he buys her gifts and takes her places that she wants to go. Like, he buys her that dress and takes her to that ball on that planet. And, he looks at her with such love.
It's like he's giving her away at that ball.
It was like a father-daughter dance.
It was. No, I like this theory.
And that's why.
I actually like this theory, yeah.
And that's why in Serenity, when she says, I ain't had nothing between my legs that ain't run on batteries. He's like, I can't know that. And there was one other thing.
I love this theory.
I'm actually, because the thing for any Firefly theory is we didn't get a finished series, so it's not you're gonna eventually be proven wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, this is really sweet and pure to me. And, I buy it. I totally buy it.
And the final one is, this is kind of the reason why he's never liked Simon ever since he found out that.
Simon's also a prick.
True, yeah, but when he found out that Kaylee's super into him, he's his protective dad. He doesn't know he doesn't know how to show love or to bring it up.
That's true though. Yeah. No, I 100% totally plausible.
Is this theory he logically doesn't have any idea that Kaylee's his daughter, but if Firefly had gone on to more seasons, it would have eventually been revealed.
The theory,
I think so. Yeah,
I think the theory hinges on that Malcolm finds out, but he doesn't know for sure. He doesn't know how to bring it up or something.
They also look enough alike that I would believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah. Also, I feel such a sci-fi thing is so and so's her dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean. I feel a lot, and that would be so Firefly to me that this thing was set up really early on and wasn't solidified until much, much later. Because it's very clear to me, having watched the first season of Firefly, that there was so much more to discover about each of those characters.
Oh, for instance, what's her name?
Inara.
Inara. There's a theory that she had a chronic illness.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a theory. So this is, I guess an honorable mention, but, there was a theory that she had a chronic illness because she keeps talking about, how much time she has or something, and she's, very worried. Mm-hmm. And so there's a theory that, later on we're going to find out that she had a chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
And, I should have looked this up for this show, but there was a theory that was going to be a possibility. There was a lot of different threads about character backstories that just got cut off.
Sure, sure, sure.
Oh yeah.
So I buy that.
Yeah, each and every character, we're and that's why, everyone's waiting for season 2 of Firefly to come out.
Well, it's definitely not going to happen now.
Nope.
Nope.
Oh god, it's waiting for the fucking Messiah.
If the Messiah is Joss Whedon, no thank you.
And who is wearing the In Joss We Trust t-shirt?
Is that a good shirt to still own? Is that because I think his wife would disagree. Or ex-wife, sorry.
Actually, you know what? I haven't heard what we're talking about. Can we talk about this off mic?
Oh, yes, we can. Okay,
okay, fantastic. Oh, no, okay. So I'm going plausible.
Yeah, going plausible. Plausible. Going plausible.
Plausible. All right, you're number one.
All right, so I actually just found this on the internet today. The Lannisters will be undone by paying their debt.
Whoa! Can you explain this?
Yes, but okay.
I love it.
So the idea is, so in the books, it's implied that someone will come who is the prince or the brother.
The prince that was promised. You mean the brother that's going to,
That's going to destroy the monarch of Westeros.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Cersei will not negotiate with Daenerys, and so Daenerys is going to set the dragons on Westeros.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we meet the Iron Bank and mm-hmm. we find out that the Lannisters have paid off their debt, their war debt, to the Iron Bank.
Mm-hmm.
The Iron Bank no longer has a stock in the Lannisters' victory.
Whoa.
So the Iron Bank is going to get behind Daenerys and Jon Snow.
I'm in it.
I love it.
Yeah. And so when the dragons are scorching Westeros, Jaime Lannister is going to get a conscience and he's going to have to murder Cersei.
I'm so into this.
Yeah. My year in working in investment banking draws me to this
place.
Cause like, let's be real here. Like, this is like, this sort of theme is the kind of thing that really, is going to connect us to narratives like this. That's totally based in fantasy and, like the medieval aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I love this theory, and if Game of Thrones ends like that, I will be so happy. If Jaime Lannister
to just die, like that's like the actual.
If Jaime Lannister comes in and cuts his sister open as Westeros burns,
I want them to murder each other at the same time.
Ooh.
Like that would be great. I think that would be actually a fitting. Like go out of the world together.
Or, like, one of those things where Jaime hugs Cersei, but he stabs them both in the back. Cersei through the back, him through the front.
Oh,
like,
hold on a second. What I want to happen is I want Jaime Lannister to stab Cersei. Westeros is burning outside, and she has a dwarf child inside of her.
Whoa!
And Jaime Lannister looks at his child and is just like, wow, like would have killed her just like Tyrion killed our mother.
Ooh!
Ah!
Boom! So many layers of this theory. I'm into all of them.
Plausible.
And yeah, I really like this because I feel like it's relevant and it also has this wonderful irony to it, and I am a sucker for irony.
I love it.
Clearly, yeah.
Clearly. Jade, you're number one.
I'm so sorry. I told you they get dumber as they go.
God, dumber than Hodor is a horse.
You're ruining my irony, JJ.
Oh, it's like Daria
it's
is lasagna.
It's going to get dumber. So there's a theory that there are two Luke Skywalkers, and one is... This was sent to me by my partner at like midnight one time, and I was like,
oh my
what
God.
Is this bullshit? Oh, sorry, which one?
Seymour.
Sorry, okay. Grapefruit LaCroix.
Grapefruit LaCroix Seymour.
At like midnight, and like honestly with him, I'm like, he could have been sober or not. But it's called the Bigger Luke Theory.
Bigger Luke?
Yeah, so there are two Lukes, and one is slightly taller than the other one.
Wait, what?
And you're judging this based on Han Solo's height, and basically, sometimes he is taller than Han Solo, and sometimes he is shorter than Han Solo. The evidence for this is the little short for a stormtrooper comment, acknowledging the two different Lukes. There's two theories up to what causes this. Is that there's Luke Prime and then there's just another Luke. or even better, that there is Mark Hamill and then a Mark Hamill lookalike that is slightly taller.
Okay. And there's also a Paul McCartney lookalike called Fall.
But yeah, so it's the bigger Luke theory.
So in real life, it could have been Mark Hamill and a stunt double?
Yeah.
Okay. I think, if it's Mark Hamill and a stunt double, I think then that theory is plausible.
Yay! Bigger Luke theory confirmed. You heard it here first on Five and Out.
That's right. What do you think? Plausible or no?
I think people are bad with perspective.
Okay. Caitlin, plausible?
Fuck that shit.
No!
We have two plausible. Wait, we have one plausible, and people are bad at perspective, and fuck that shit.
the usual perspectives. All right.
All right, so I'm going to do my top five in review.
Okay.
When I'm done, you guys have to guess which one I made up.
Okay, cool.
Okay, My number five is Aladdin takes place in the distant future. My number four is that Minority Report, the ending is completely in Tom Cruise's brain. Mm-hmm. My number three is Drusilla was going to be a slayer. My number two is Harry Potter turned the Dursleys into assholes because he's a Horcrux. My number one is that Kaylee is Malcolm Reynolds' daughter. Which one do you think I made up?
Three.
Three?
I like it, but I think you made it up.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Thing number three, Drusilla was going to be a slayer.
Yeah.
I actually made up Kaylee is Mal's daughter.
No way!
I made that shit up. Today!
That was my other option.
Yeah.
I really liked that one, though.
I know.
It's I liked both of your made-up ones more than your actual ones. Like,
thank
more than
you.
The actual theories.
I didn't make up number three. That is a real theory out there.
Oh, shit. Okay, I like that theory, too, though.
But this one isn't even out there, and I was like, oh, my God, it actually lines up pretty well.
Yeah, shit, dude.
So, that's the one I made up. Caitlin.
You did it.
I did it. I fooled you.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
Okay, cool.
Top five in review. Caitlin.
All right. So, my number five was Bella's part werewolf. My next one was Marla in Fight Club is imaginary. Number three was J.K. Rowling. Didn't realize until later. This was extrapolated, but, you know. And then two was Wolfgang from Sense8 is dead. And then number one was... the Lannisters will be undone by paying their debts.
Number two.
I would go with actually number three.
Really? I'm saying number two is the one you made up.
Yeah. Yeah, I did make up that Wolfgang is dead.
really?
I tried to pull some M. Night Shyamalan shit on you guys.
Sure.
You guessed it.
And, mm-hmm. I was originally going to go with talking about how J.K. Rowling didn't decide to kill Harry. But, like, you know, I actually found stuff on the internet that supported that.
Oh, I see.
You know, she actually did, like, wrestle with that. Like, but, you know, our discussion was...
When. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, like, I have my own theories as to when. We can't really prove when. But, yeah, I made up the Wolfgang thing.
Whoa!
I could tell because you said I should have done more research on that. I was like... Okay, she made that up.
that was my runner-up was number two, actually.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually don't think
Wolfgang legitimately people who think Bella's, like, half-werewolf.
Yeah, that's a theory
that
I came across.
Or she's part succubus.
That one I believe
But
more.
No, she's just 128th quillion.
I'm gonna die. Okay.
Jage.
All right. So, mine is Steve from Stranger Things is Jean-Ralphio's dad. Fred and George practice legitimacy. Wine makes that word hard to say. Mind reading. Tangled and Frozen and Little Mermaid are all connected. Hodor is a horse. And that there are two Lukes. One is slightly taller than the other.
I think...
What about John Ralphio's dad?
I think it's one of the top two. I just think... Because you got so much glee out of both of them. And I think you're... I can't decide. I'm going to say number two. You made up Hodor as a horse.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Both of those are completely real.
Wait, what?
I shit you not. Yeah, there is a...
See, I knew you found, like, stupid fan theories.
I just threw you off! Yes! Hodor as a horse is, like, a big theory. Like, that was, like, a big...
Oh, come
on. Like, season six theory.
People
yeah, I
just
should
have,
not.
Like, serious biases against cognitively disabled people.
Oh, yeah. And... No, really, though. Bigger Luke is legit a thing my partner sent me.
Uh-huh.
And then he told me I should have it on the podcast. And then, no, the one I made up is Fred and George practice legitimacy.
Legitimacy?
Yeah, I've totally made that up.
Really?
What?
Yes.
That makes so much sense,
I know.
Though.
No, but, okay, so it's super hard to make up a Harry Potter fan theory. Like, so many people have thought of it first.
Yeah.
So I went through, like, all the Fred and George stuff. Because, like, for instance, I legit thought it was kind of the Time Turner thing at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, not the Time Turner, but, like, what else would it be? So I totally made that one up.
That?
What? You got me.
You got me. I totally, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Right? I'm pretty proud of that one.
I thought that, like, there were so many Fred and George theories that one must have been one of them.
I thought, so my original Harry Potter one was going to be that Aunt Petunia was a squib.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, a bunch of people think that.
No, Lily is muggle born. Like, and like,
I know.
Lily was the, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
I know. My fake theory is like better than a lot of real theories.
Man,
yes, it is.
We had some good fake theories.
We had some
theories.
Good fake theories. Yeah. I'm into like all of our fake theories.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this extra long podcast. We want to hear your fan theories, be they already out there or their fan theories that you made them up. You can leave a comment here at oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveandoutshow@gmail.com. That, again, is different than the email before the hiatus. It's fiveandoutshow@gmail.com. Caitlin, what do you have to plug?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at CaitlinOffStage. That's CAITLIN. Off stage.
And the 6 weeks of sexpiration?
Yes. And we are, JJ and I, JJ Ranvier and Caitlin Robb, we are 6 degrees of sexpiration. And you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at 6 degrees comedy. That's number 6, DEGREES comedy.
ComEDY. Again, that is the number 6.
M-O-U-S-E.
My favorite thing Caitlin. Is Caitlin spelling after 4 glasses of wine.
I have to spell my name for everybody.
I don't.
Yeah. Okay, so are you done
I'm
with your
plugs? I'm glad that you don't interact with complete morons every day.
That's not true.
All right, so you're done with your plugs.
I'm done with my plugs.
Okay. Sage.
Hi. Yes. If you want more of me being sarcastic and possibly taking the piss out of Wes, you should follow me on Twitter at Saint of Snark, as in S-A-I-N-T of Snark, S-N-A-R-K. Basically like what I would get canonized for if I got murdered. And you can find me on Instagram too, but it's basically just pictures
of me. You have to be a
martyr, JJ. Yeah, please don't. That'd be rude. but basically, like, if you follow me on Instagram, it's just gonna be mostly selfies and all my best shit is on Twitter. If you want to, listen to my podcast that I'm pretty proud of, I've been writing it for a while. And if you also want to hear Caitlin a lot and Wes one time, you can listen to the After Disaster broadcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Play or whatever your podcatcher is. And if you listen to it, please donate to us on Patreon if you like it, or at least tweet at me so I can get over my imposter syndrome. Either way. Please listen to the podcast. I think it's pretty good.
And help us get over our imposter syndrome.
It's going to be a longer process, but if you want to hold our hands, please do.
And Caitlin, how do you spell imposter syndrome? I'm just kidding. Okay, so my Twitter is I'm at the Wes Whitaker. I will start posting on there
will
more.
I will.
I promise.
How many followers do you have currently on Twitter?
I have not enough to post often, but if I get more, I will post often at the Wes Whitaker.
Just all the tit shots. That's like how you do it. It's just like all
there
the
are all
pictures.
My tits.
All my tits. Wes like, at allmytits.com.
Yep. It's like all my children, but all my tits. Anyway, that was a weird sentence to go out on, but we're going out on it. With that being said, I'm Wes.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm JJ.
That was 5.
And we're out!
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners to oneofus.net, be a subscriber. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, being a subscriber is it. The long-term benefits of being a subscriber at oneofus.net have been proven by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Watch TV, but not too much. Remember to cast a wide net of types of shows you watch. Even reality TV may have the occasional gem to offer. Don't feel too bad that you have trouble finding friends that share your interests. You are amazing, and you should love what you love. Sure, in 20 years you'll look back at your favorite stuff and cringe at some of it, but it will be with an affectionate smile. By the way, I have no doubt that you probably look amazing. Even if you haven't found that person yet, if you believe in yourself, somebody is going to love you. I'm sure anime is great. I don't personally watch a lot of it, although some of our staff certainly does. You'll feel better in realizing that my lack of interest in it isn't me critiquing the quality of anime and affects your love of it in no way. Tony is probably not gonna show up. Yeah, we wish he would too. Love that guy. Taking it personal when someone likes something you hate or hates something you love in entertainment is understandable when young. But as you get older, trust me, there will be little that will make you feel more embarrassed about yourself than cruel things you said on someone's Facebook page about DC versus Marvel or whatever at 3 in the morning. At least hopefully. Write. Create. Do your own thing. And if you don't have the time, find the time. Try out the shows you haven't given a shot to yet on our network, like Thumbtacks and Screwjobs, Somebody Likes It, or Deliberations of Doom. We think you'll be pleasantly surprised. But seriously, trust me on the subscription.